Over to you.
Good. Well, welcome everyone, and thank you for joining this session. We're very excited to be offering this community conversation with Carlos as the host. And I'll be facilitating the chat and helping out with any questions along the way. So again, my name is Cynthia Escamilla. I'm on the board of ODF. And Carlos will be facilitating. Carlos is an author. He's on the board. He's a speaker, author, consultant. And for those of you who know Carlos, he's written a wonderful book called Lessons from Mars, How One Global Company Cracked the Code on High Performance and Collaboration and Teamwork. So it's great. And if also Carlos has done a lot of work with, as a consultant, with working with very big companies such as AT&T, Pfizer, General Motors. So it has a lot of information around teamwork and collaboration. So I'm just going to hand it to Carlos and we'll go from there.
All right. Well, welcome all 9 or 10 of you. You have made time in your day to be here to help me deal with something that's, I think it's fascinating. And it's been a topic of, I've been interested in now for about a year or so as we got well into the pandemic. I'm going to share some slides and we'll just put up here the proposition for up for discussion today. And I'm hoping we'll walk out of here with some good ideas and some suggestions and some answers for those of us who consult. So let me grab my screen here. There it is. I'll just leave it. I don't want to go into screen show mode because it tends to... I have two screens and it gets a little wonky. So let me just stay here. You can see what it says. it ain't what it used to be. The impact, and it's about the impact of remote and hybrid working on consulting to organizations. And I'm a member of ODF, but I do a lot of other kinds of organization consulting, much of which depends, and I think the organization work, the org design work does as well, depends on use of self, right? That is the use of the self as an instrument in the consulting process. And this is from an article that was written by a guy named Dave Jamieson and a few of his partners on use of self, as he was trying to understand it as a generic term. I'll let you read it for yourselves, but it's changed. The way I use myself as an instrument in interactions with my clients, especially in groups, has altered because I'm no longer in a physical space with people. And I did not realize to what extent I depended on that physical proximity and relative intimacy of being in a room with people for forming my thoughts, recognizing my intuitions, and making decisions based on those. I was just disoriented for a while, but then I started thinking about it. What is it that's missing now? Why is it I don't like my work as much as I used to like my work? The aspects of the self that I think about here, and there are probably more than this. In fact, I'm sure there are, but it's our senses, right? We come into the room, at least in a physical space, and our senses are activated and engaged. We take those inputs, whether it's seeing, feeling, hearing, and we process them internally. That's part of our self as instrument. How do we put these inputs into our mental and emotional processing? And what happens within us as we do that? What are we thinking about? What are we feeling? What comes up for us in the moment, based sometimes on the overt and sometimes on the less obvious? What a guy named Bob Marshak might call the covert process in the room. What's going on that we aren't really aware of, right? Because you come into a room, and even if it's an org design project, I'm dealing with high-powered leaders in groups, politics, and the passions around those politics. And I'm picking up stuff, verbal, nonverbal, et cetera, all the time. And then I make choices based on that. And all of this is affected by what's going on in the space or what I no longer have access to. So what I wanna do is talk to you guys about how being a consultant has changed for us as a result of being forced to work remotely. I realize many of us are now back in rooms again with people, and it's so refreshing to me. I don't know about you, but it's been such a delight to get back into a room with people. So I want to take us through two breakouts. The first one, I want to think about two things and have you come back and talk to us about the good part of it. So it hasn't all been negative. There have been some things I've learned about myself. So that's been one benefit, the self, the revelation of who I am in a virtual space has been really interesting, right? I've learned some things. So there are other things that we can consider positive coming out of working remotely. I'm sure of it. I focused on the negative because I wasn't happy with it, but I realized there's some positive. So I want you to think about that. And then I want you to think about the biggest challenges in facilitating, in your use of self in particular, when you're working with groups remotely. So those two things. Let me just check my notes for a minute here. How much time we're going to do this? I think I said breakout one was going to be about 10 minutes. We probably have a little more time than that. So let's make it 12 minutes. And if you would, I'd love to have this be somewhat structured because I want to capture these outputs and share them back with the community. So yes, I want us to be in conversation mode, but I would like the groups to appoint someone to take some notes and share back with us, if possible, either via a Google Doc, or we'll give you permission to share screen through a Word doc or a PowerPoint slide. What are some of those benefits you've realized? And what are the bigger challenges for working remotely in terms of your use of self? So there's the challenge for us. Two questions to answer, bring something back, and have someone ready to share it with us. What questions do you have about my proposed process?
Okay. So Carlos, I did have one person who chatted me that was asking, are we going to share your slides at the end?
Yeah.
So that they don't have to take a bunch of notes, or should they be note-taking furiously?
No. We should paste these questions in, and I can do that into the chat if you haven't done it already.
No, I will. I think it was more about the few questions that you had there in the second slide.
The deck is for everybody.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Now, Tanya, technical point, do you want me to paste these questions into the chat so people have them? Or do you have a
I've got them ready to go. So once they head in, I'll broadcast them.
Okay, excellent. Sounds like we have no questions. So let's head out and let's all be back here at about, let's say 25 past. That's a lot of time, right? That's, yeah, 25 past. Come back from your groups ready to share at 25 past the hour.
Okay.
Unless you're in, let's say, Newfoundland or India, where it might be 5 minutes before the hour.
That is too much math.
Yeah, well, there you go. We'll see you all shortly. I look forward to hearing from you. After that, we're going to talk about some solutions and ways you've developed for working with it to make it work for you. So let's go. Let's move on to our first breakout.
All righty.
And I will stop sharing. So it looks like it's just about 11 people, 10.
We had somebody else that joined and just dropped like in the last, we had two rooms of five each and then someone dropped off there just a moment ago.
They don't want to do a breakout. Okay.
Sometimes that happens.
We know that happens. People don't want to do that. It's almost no matter what you say. I mean, I tried to make it clear in the description that we'd be discussing it, right? But I guess some people just...
I don't know if it's the small group discussion where they feel obligated to...
they can't just sit back.
Listen in. Right. And that, I think, for people that are probably a little newer in the practice, I think they get a little starstruck by some of the experience levels of the practitioners here. Okay, I just shared the...
All right. So we've got a few... I'm going to run downstairs. I have to check something for my wife who is... at the store and needs to know if we have something or not. Welcome back, one and all, and thank you again for being here. It's our intimate little group. I think we'll see if we can spend the rest of the time as just a group. No more breakouts, perhaps, because we are so small. But let's hear from you on this first breakout. What were some of the benefits, and what were some of the challenges? Which group would like to go first? We'll just raise a hand and give you control. Don't be shy. Okay, Jim, your hand is up.
Well, another point, Carlos, everybody else hear Carlos better than me? He's really, really off in the distance.
Let me check my mic settings.
So we noted a number of positives where things like engagement and inclusion went up. And sort of the language I used on that was deference to superiors went down as people were submitting their responses to questions in writing as opposed to speaking and trying to get airtime. Dominance by the bullies pretty much disappeared, probably because it's hard to bully people when you're with typing language versus intimidating with stares and interruptions. Inclusion went up, and I noted the value in follow-up conversations with the data trail. We seem to have leave a much better trail of conversations and decisions and choices and reasons when they're documented using this these distant learning kinds of things. Just to share how close that was, Diane mentioned dealing with bullies by sort of standing over them. And I got goosebumps because I'm a 6 foot plus big guy. And when you're sitting in a chair and someone comes up and stands behind you, it's a very different feeling to go through. So that was sort of like a visceral acknowledgement that one works, and we lost that capability.
So that's a loss.
Anything else from the group?
So
Diana, your microphone's off.
Okay. Grant had mentioned that he found some things that went very well remotely, like one-on-one assessments. The realization that maybe more that I shared with him when he mentioned this, I was like, I resonated with that, learning that if you're working with a group, it's much better to have everyone on their own computer rather than single computers serving multiple subgroups. That, I mean, it's, you know, that just tips you right back into the old Polycom world, right? You know, of who's in the room and who's not in the room and who gets to talk. And so, but with everyone on their own computer, it will overcome that. And the other thing that we mentioned, I think that is really important, is the benefit of being able to have people from very different time zones and, you know, from all over the world without having to travel to be able to come together in the same virtual space was very beneficial to a lot of folks, and often very beneficial to folks from that have diverse conditions or backgrounds or so on. A lot of the feedback I got was that it felt online can feel more inclusive if it's well facilitated.
Okay.
We had the same conversations, Diana and team, yeah, like in our group, that the level of inclusion was greatly increased by it was as an advantage. The use of conferencing tools like Mural, like that got a huge increase as far as people being able to collaborate and adapt to different things. And also from a diversity perspective, people who are more introverted can write and it be seen versus just being in a room and not saying anything versus just actually, here's a tool that you can use to write your thoughts. And that's visible to everyone. So, you know, just kind of increasing that diverse engagement and connection. I think that there also was this advantage of we're all on video, like we can see each other where we're using Teams to call or where like we are now doing more video conferencing than before, where using maybe FaceTime or even the telephone is now going to be passé. You know? Yeah. So it's now we're now shifting to, let's have a conversation where we can see each other and see each other's expressions. We're actually using a phone before, you weren't able to engage in that way. So good advantages there. Yeah.
So Cynthia, you were in the other group, you're sort of feeding.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's the benefits that we talked about, the advantages, just the increased accessibility, like was mentioned from the other team.
Okay. From the other team, from Jim's readout, we had one challenge around the ability to deal with bullies, because you no longer can walk around the table and stand behind the troublemaker. Yeah. Were there any other challenges you guys talked about?
Oh, yeah. So the challenges we talked about was really the social network, not being able to see potentially, you know, who sits next to each other when you have the offline conversations, being in the elevator or being near the coffee urn and having the hearing those conversations, hearing that dialogue is very hard to do remotely. You don't get those informal conversations, and it's kind of hard to maybe assess the social dynamics of a team when you don't have visibility to that. So that's a big disadvantage of having, you know, kind of what was experienced in the last few years, I think. Yeah. And then the other one was we had someone in our group who deals with a lot of government clients, and the mm-hmm. government or whomever, even other companies might have limitations on the software and the conferenceware that you use. And so your collaboration tools might not be fully utilized, or you're able to fully utilize whatever is available, because it's not available to everybody.
Okay.
Yeah.
It strikes me that a lot of the things we're talking about missing in the remote environment aren't there to start with in a remote team. That's always been a remote team. So who sits next to each other and all those elements that we used to observe, those have gone away in a lot of the remote environments.
Right.
So maybe what we're seeing now in our remote discussions is reality in the remote team. This is what they see every day.
Yeah. Well, so let me put the pause button for a second. I'm taking notes on all this, and I'm going to share my notes back with the community when we're done here. But this idea, we're now seeing ourselves the reality of remote teams and living it. And I want to just capture that thought in my notes. And then I want to back up a little bit. All right, so what's interesting to me about the conversation I'm hearing is we're observing some of the generic benefits, the diversity, for example, the leveling of the playing field that's been talked about and written about quite a bit, right? Suddenly there is no head of the table, right? We're all equals at this virtual table. Generally good for introverts, can find their voices through writing messages. So it's a way to build inclusion. That was the word that came up frequently. And we're hearing a little bit about the consulting experience in this new environment. And that's what that's why I wanted to convene this discussion. Because I want to explore, yes, I get the benefits generically of doing it. And going back to the comment I guess you made, yeah, I miss the fact that I can't use the room to shift the energy of the group when that is necessary. That's a use of self in a three-dimensional way, right? I literally notice, wow, it's like Deadsville over here in this corner. I'm just going to walk around to that side of the table, and I'm just going to conduct the facilitation work from there and see if that moves things. Sometimes sitting down is the choice I make. I'll pull a chair right into the middle of a group if they're sitting in a U. This is what I can't do that virtually. Mm-hmm. And it's why I've become so interested in this topic. I'm at the back end of my career. There are people coming into the field who are digital natives, if you will. who are probably cool with working this way remotely all the time, that kids who grew up with FaceTime, for example, and are now in the workplace. I hope I'm not a complete dinosaur, but I would like to explore this notion of how it's affected you and your work, and how you use your intellect, your emotion, your intuition differently or not at all.
Right. You know, I was
choices. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just thinking about the second question and the challenges, and what came up for me was the stressors, when we sit around even a conference table, even if it's not as, you know, not we haven't been able to arrange the room as a facilitator might arrange a room for certain purposes, but even if we were sitting around a conversation or sitting around a conference table, we would not be staring at each other's face the whole time.
Correct.
You know, and that sort of subtle Zoom fatigue that's in the background all the time. And, you know, I learned early on that I can't hide self view and then have myself appear in a recording both at the same time. So I either have to be, on, or I don't record. And, you know, making that choice each time. But the subtle kinds of stressors that this brings with it. And I don't think anybody's talked about how do we compare this stress from the stress of commuting or the stress of being in the office and being worried about that guy that always stabs everybody in the back, or whatever the office stressor might be. That's probably not, a lot of that isn't present here, but there are other stressors. And I've found that for myself as a consultant, I have to stay even more aware of what's going on in my body when I'm starting to feel fatigued, or just preemptively, declaring that we're going to have more breaks than we might otherwise have been used to.
Right.
I talked a little bit in our group about movement. We're going to do some movements to kind of break things up. And looking for those kinds of things to overcome what's been called Zoom fatigue, the challenges of Zoom fatigue. When people don't even get the chance to walk from one meeting room to the other.
Right.
But they're just going from, you know, their desk chair one meeting after the other, and that, you know, how that impacts people, and how do we schedule things, right? I've been working really hard to schedule 45 and 50 minute sessions, not hour sessions, that kind of thing.
So yeah, this gets us into the solutions place, which is where we ultimately want to go, right? Cynthia put something in the chat as well about how she's shortening things up to account for this. I find I get more work done in less time on Zoom. When it's very tactical and transactional, it goes really fast. Partly, I think, because the mess of the group isn't interfering in the way it can when you're in a room together. So I find I need fewer hours to a conversation. Aspect of the design conversation that might normally, I expect I'd set a half day aside for it. Now I'm talking 2 hours and we get to a good place. What we don't get is some of the deeper, more subtle stuff that's happening between people. I miss the cues about where there's political tension, for example.
Yeah, I'd like to build on that, Carlos, in terms of coaching situations.
Yeah.
One of the things I miss is being able to see the body below the neck. And so, for example, I was coaching a young man, and we were physically in the same space, and there was a bench. It was the only place to sit in that particular room. So he was on the bench and I sat at the other end of the bench, and he got up and he walked away. And I thought, oh, that's kind of odd. Physically, he was distant from me. So then I stepped closer to him and he walked away again. And it raised something in my own mind. I said, gee, there's something about social space here. And sure enough, I started to expand my inquiry to people in a social network and discovered, which many of the people in the business did not know, was this manager was actually on the autism scale. And that had gone undiagnosed. And Asperger's. And that was an underlying condition that contributed to many of the problems he was having in terms of working in the social network within the leadership team. Mm-hmm. Right. And had I not been able to pick up that social distance thing and start to inquire about it, that would not have informed my coaching approach. Right.
How people use their bodies is very telling in this space. And I'm, you know, I'm thinking, you know, I'm always interested in keeping this as relevant as I can for those, because this is ODF, right? I want to talk about org design and the situations we find ourselves in. But I know most of us have individual clients we work with, whether it's org design specific or it's around tangential issues of leadership and development. So I think that's really important. So I'm fascinated. What else? Go ahead, Grant.
It just strikes me that as organizational design consultants, that the ability to read and understand a group is fundamental to what we do, which says to me that we have to learn to use this tool, if this is the tool we're going to use, to try to understand more about what are the signal, the subtle signals we see in the group. One of my clients, I mentioned this earlier in their small group, has a unit here in the United States and another in Amsterdam. Two entirely different cultures within the same company. And bringing those two together in this forum presents some unique challenges. But you can start to observe how the group works together and the possible conflicts within the group. I don't think I'm good with it, but I do see the need for developing that skill.
Yeah.
One of the things that helps, we do personal assessments, but we also use those assessments and to do an analysis of the group dynamics, how the different profiles work together. That has been extremely helpful in this environment.
That's an interesting thought. Yeah, okay.
To Grant's point, There's a book, I think it's out of print, but it's Riding the Waves of Culture.
Yeah.
Franz Trompenaar's.
Yeah, Trompenaar's book, yep.
I was CIO for a company based in Amsterdam. Well, the company's based in Massachusetts, but I was based in Amsterdam. So in a given week, I would be working with people from three different countries, three different cultures, every week, including my own office, where we had people from nine countries working in the same office. So I took a very productive course with the United Nations, went to Brussels, and took a course on facilitating and coaching multinationals. Mm-hmm. One of the tricks was, whenever forming a team, form the team as an organization. Do an organization design on the team that you're working with. What's the purpose of this organization, and what are the values of working together? And you can reveal a lot of things that you need to be sensitive to. Mm-hmm. You put Spaniards in a room with Vikings, and you're going to have a lot of fun getting decisions made. The trick is make all those decisions over either coffee or beer. Don't try to make them in the meetings. But that practice carries beautifully over to Japan. Don't force discussions during the day. Go out to dinner, get all your decisions made, and come back and confirm them the next day. It's a different world, Grant. As Grant describes, to get the lay of the land.
So, what does that look like, Jim, in a virtual setting? I mean, I've got a person's from Tokyo, somebody else is from Bruges, somebody else is from Oslo. We can't go out to dinner afterwards and make the decisions. We can't.
Well, you actually can. And what you can do is say, here are the choices that we teed up today, everybody this evening, tomorrow, before we get together the next time. Vote on your choice and your argument for why your choice should carry the day and why other choices don't meet your concerns. So it takes a little more, it takes a lot more conversation to get to a consensus decision, but when you get there, everybody understands why that you made the final choice better. And then there's a physical expression that we used, which was called yes. And everybody had to open their arms and say, do we all agree? And everybody had to yes. And you could see it on the screens. And people from different cultures take a little while to get used to doing that. There are your exuberant cultures and your reserved cultures. It has been expressed by clients to be a great learning experience when you ask people what are the things we value most as we work together.
I have a question for the group. So one of the things that I struggle with in facilitating remotely is that prior to remote, when we were all together, I always had a ground rule of no sidebar conversations. But now when you're in a remote, people are just chatting away and they're chatting away their ideas and their reactions and maybe something else altogether. As a facilitator, you know, it's nice to have a co-facilitator who's looking at the chat because you often can't even visually see and read the chat while you're focusing on slides or other materials that you're walking the team through. So that's been helpful to have a co-facilitator, but that co-facilitator still has to inform me of what's going on in the chat so that I'm not, you know, completely clueless as to what's happening there. I'm just wondering, my question is, has anybody ever said to a team you're facilitating, nobody can use the chat right now?
Yep.
Because I've actually never thought about that, but I'm right now thinking, well, I guess I could just say no sidebar conversations, no chat.
Well, yeah, we have. And people also chat on their phones. So we're having a conversation here and I'm messaging with my wife who's at the Costco picking up paper towels. So I saw a couple of hands go up. Yes, and you want to draw that line even more clearly and specifically around other modes, because people could be texting on their computers or their phones. So absolutely have done it.
And you get there's no resistance to that. Like, well, we're just going to IM where you can't see us anyway.
Well, so one of the things, so let me ask the group. I haven't, I know what I would do if I did, but I haven't. How have you handled it? Those of you here who have also done that, proscribed the messaging.
Never done it. Never had the guts.
Yeah, I only put in the chat what you want me to see after our session.
Okay.
So that's the ground rules I've used. Yes.
Yeah. And it's being recorded or documented. So
That's
a good reminder too.
Right.
And you can send ground rules out in advance, but make couching them in the context of to make the best use of our time so we can accomplish these things. And list a few of the ground rules in advance, and then just a reminder at the beginning, kind of like we did when we were in person. And if it's integrated in the agenda, I don't think people think too much about that.
Yeah, and I'm talking about in the chat, talking about things that we are talking about, like commenting on the conversation, not other things, not distractions, not put your phone away, don't do other things, none of that. They're being very present. They're being so present. They're chatting about it while we're talking about it.
Right. They're multitasking. Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just saying that, in the case where I'm the only facilitator, where I usually will assign someone that's part of the group to help me with that chat, to help me monitor, and it's usually the leader or a key member of the team that can help me with the chat and can help say, we're not going to talk about that right now, or, hey, you know, we'll address that maybe at a little later point. But it just really helps when I'm not the only one that's in charge of the monitoring, because you're facilitating, and it's a difficult one. Yeah.
That's a key point. And I have found the glories of a tech host or moderator. So a second person to be with me. Mm-hmm. So I can put all of my attention on what I'm seeing and hearing, that it's a huge help. I want to say one more thing, and then Aminata has a hand raised, so I want to get to that. The other part of it is, I find the chat sometimes reveals some of that underlying stuff that I feel like I'm missing because I'm not in a room with people. It can be a really rich source of insight into what's actually on people's minds versus what we're talking about. So I love the idea of having a second body when that's possible, it isn't. All right, Aminata, if I'm saying your name correctly.
Yep. Yes, you are. And I guess one of the things I'm wondering about, Marissa, is that when it comes to the chat, why is that necessarily like a bad thing? Because to me, that would indicate that people are like really engaged in the topic and that they're paying attention, because I would take that as a positive thing from a facilitation standpoint.
Problem is that I'm not able to follow the chat and all that rich conversation that they're having, because I often can't even see it, just technically cannot see the chat while I have my slides up. But the other thing is, now I am presenting something or I'm asking, you know, for feedback. And while I'm asking for feedback and people are talking, there are people also chatting. So it's like, I have to hear what people are saying. I have to read the chat. I have to bring it all together and integrate it. It's like, yikes, now there's too much information. They're too engaged, which I know is not a thing. You can't be too engaged. So I'm not saying on a motto that I would eliminate it. That's my question is, has anybody ever said no chatting so that we can all have just one conversation?
Well, I looked for are people that are using the chat but not engaging in the conversation. Mm-hmm. And in the workshops I've done, which have been the organizational discussions about how we're working together, I want people to be live on the screen, not in a side conversation. And so if somebody's using only the chat, I'll stop and call them. Hey, could you please tell us what you're thinking, you know, whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm. I'll do the same, Grant. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think it is possible in the midst of it. So I think it's a skill, Marissa. One of the skills I developed grudgingly, because I didn't want to have to do, I didn't want to have to adapt at all, was the skill of tracking the chat. In Zoom, I'm able to pop the chat out, keep it on the side. It also tells me when somebody's added to it. What I don't know is who's chatting privately in Zoom sometimes, because that is possible. But I've had to learn how to do it when I'm not with a partner or tech host. Mm-hmm. And that's been hugely helpful. A lot of that has come through ODF, actually, and these conversations. Because community conversations, you'll see people popping links into the chat. Oh, somebody just mentioned this book, and somebody else pops it in, and somebody says, yeah, great book. And so I've just had to figure out how to do it and not be frustrated by it.
Okay,
but you can also, also in mid-conversation, you could say, guys, can we halt the chat for the next 5 minutes? And let's just deal with what Mike has brought up and just talk about that. Can we just do that if we could? And I have done that. I put boundaries on it that way that says we're not going to do it for the next 10. Because it gets so vital. Go ahead.
Just so you all...
Cynthia brought up a great question.
Sorry, I know there's only 5 minutes left, but the hybrid facilitation, that is something I have not cracked yet, where I'm in a room, I've been invited, I'm facilitating, but there's still some people that are online. And so I've got both online and then in the room kind of conversations. And that's one where it is still a challenge for me, where I'm trying to be present in the room, but also be present for people that are online.
I got a tip for you there, Cynthia, but you wanted to get in, Tanya. What did you want to say?
Just from a facilitation standpoint, you can turn on and off chat in the moment. So you could have 30 minutes of time where you just don't even have the chat on. And then you as host can just click on chat. And then there's the ability with the three dots on the right to activate it or inactivate it. Mm. You would only be able to do that as the host of the call. And then in that same setting, you can set it to where people cannot private message each other. They can only message you, or they can only message the group. So Zoom specifically, I don't know about any of the other platforms, has that ability to limit that. So you could turn it off and then open it up and say, okay, now if you've got some things, resources you want to share, chat's opened again, go ahead and input okay. what you want.
I love it. Cynthia, what I've done in the hybrid situations is I appoint an in-room buddy. So Cynthia's virtual and Grant's in the room. Grant, you're going to be Cynthia's in-room buddy. And I say, if you need to use your phone to text each other to get your voice heard, I say, you guys are going to be accountable for making sure Cynthia is feeling like she's part as much a part of this as possible, even though she's on a little screen somewhere. It helps tremendously in a hybrid situation to have each person who's hybrid have some voice in the room who feels accountable to them. It's only one tip. I'm sure there are better ones out there, but it's one I've kind of stumbled into.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I've also seen, I haven't done it myself, I've completely avoided hybrid facilitation, but I have seen other people where you'll have a co-facilitator who's specifically responsible for the people who are remote, and then, you know, the one facilitator who's in the room. And even during breakouts, you know, they just go to a different room. So there's had that conversation or stay in the room and everybody else leaves. But there's one person who's just always looking at their chats, their, you know, right. whatever they need, technical, everything.
Right. Yeah, we're coming up against the end of our time, and I don't. We're a small group. There's one other thing I want to raise. There's a revelation I had recently. I was supposed to be with a group in, of all places, in Chicago, I think. Yeah, Chicago. I came down with COVID. I had two or three really bad days, but just mostly a sore throat, no fever, no body aches. It wasn't terrible, but I was still testing positive even after I felt well, so I couldn't go. They were in a room. I was at my desk here. It was one of the most effective virtual facilitation things I've ever done. And I realized it was because someone else earlier said this wasn't a good thing. I find it a good thing. I could see them all. I could see who was talking to whom, who was having the side conversations. And the soundscape made a huge difference to me. I could hear everybody, even when they talked over each other and interrupted each other, but I got such a sense of the group because they were all visible and audible at the same time and in the same way. And I thought, oh, that's one of the things I miss in Zoom. Notice how many of us are muted. I miss the soundscape. I miss the collective noise of the group and the room and the space they're in. And my only workaround for that is to get everybody in the room, and I'll be remote if that's possible, and if we can't all be at one place. But it helped me tremendously understand how important ambient sound is to me as a facilitator of a group. And I don't have a real fix for it, which is so no solutions to offer anybody. But if anybody else has dealt with that, I'd love to hear how you did it.
That's a great idea, because I know when I'm facilitating in a room and I've given an assignment to breakout groups that might be in dyads or triads in the room, I wait for the volume of the ambient sound to come down. Then I know the conversations are winding down or coming to a close. Yeah.
Great point. It's a great point. Yeah. The other thing, by the way, that Zoom does brilliantly, and I think other things do brilliantly, is breakouts are timed. Managing breakout groups in the physical space is a pain in the neck, right? I'm running around the hotel lobby trying to track down these people who've decided they're going to have their breakout discussion over coffee that they picked up at the coffee bar in the lobby. In Zoom, it's like, I gotcha. You're coming back. And the other thing I want to repeat too is I've learned that I'm really good at the transactional stuff virtually. It's really a good setting for, we just need to get some business done. Let's just get it done. The interpersonal stuff, I was with a group in Newark, New Jersey 2 weeks ago. it was their first time gathering. They didn't know each other. We had a lot of relationship sort of establishing to do without being overt about it. We wanted people getting comfortable with each other. Still irreplaceable. I can't get that in that kind of quality of connection over Zoom. I get people talking about themselves, but the sense of coming together is still diminished. I don't know what your experience has been with that. Well, we're at 12 o'clock. We're at 12 o'clock my time, top of the hour. Any final thoughts anybody wants to contribute before we wrap up?
To your point, Carlos, I've used the fact that people are home to actually share more about themselves. So I've used kind of like a show and tell and can use different questions like, you know, bring something from your house that, you know, reminds you of something you love from being a kid or, you know, why you love being in IT or something like that. So bringing that stuff in, using props and having them use their own property is, you know, you can't do that when that people are traveling from all places across the globe and coming together.
It's a great point. And it's a real advantage. I mean, I get to, people get to see your space.
Yeah. And that's, I know my wife and I, when we watch the news and when the commentators or newscasters were actually in their own homes or apartments, you know, oh, they have a cat, oh, they have a dog. Yeah. You sort of get an entirely different perspective on them. They're not sitting in the sterile studio. You're getting a sense of how they decorate their home, what kind of art they like.
Yeah.
It's fascinating. I like that idea.
All right. Well, I want to thank everybody. I mean, I think there's much more to be garnered here. I think there are a lot of really good ideas we probably haven't even touched on yet. And so I apologize for that, but we are at the end of our time. Remind me, Tanya, is there anything I need to do to close? Do you have some closing things you need to talk about? Want to remind us of upcoming community conversations or ODF events people need to be mindful of?
Well, we have just our standing October events that are coming up. So Coffee Club is the third Tuesdays, and that's just a general topic that's open discussion, more of a meetup. And then our weekly or our monthly last Wednesday discussion of articles from the European ODF's newsletter that our conference participants receive as a benefit, and then you could sign up to receive those. We have the new offer. Jim was our last presenter for our design dilemmas. So our community engagement team is looking for upcoming sessions for somebody who might be struggling with a particular org design problem and would like to present that. Let me know if you have an interest in doing that. And Friday, I signed the contract for 2023 conference. We're going to meet in Philadelphia, May 2nd to the 4th.
Oh, okay.
So we will be... Yep. So the last week in April, there is apparently some big citywide volleyball tournament that was taking up a bunch of the spaces and raising the prices. So we're going to be the first week in May this year, and we'll be sending out a save the date notice about that fairly soon. So we're hoping to return to some pre-COVID participation levels and hit that 90-100 people in the room and 50 was great in April of this year, but boy, it was so much more energy when we really filled the room. So
I will be there to welcome everybody to my hometown. So
yeah. Look forward to good. It. Well, Carlos and Cynthia, thank you both for your time getting prepped for this session. As I said, I'll put the chat if there's some relevant information into the recording of this conversation. So as we're heading out, if you have the one tip every facilitator needs to know, whether it's hybrid or fully virtual, feel free to add those notes, and I will make sure that gets included on the recordings of the session.
And I will include notes in my deck as well, some of the ideas I heard from the group. We'll put that in there. So thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a great day. Stay healthy.
Bye-bye, everybody.